Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
all the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
We also know, hold to, and teach and live the three commands that the Lord Jesus Christ gave the church. And in those three commands, all the scripture is wrapped up from Genesis to Revelation, that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we submit ourselves to the love of God, that means we submit ourselves to His word. Amen, children? And it also means that we take that very word out into the world through our lives. That is being an evangelical Christian, that we live our faith. We don't just sit in the church and have a religion. We have a relationship with our loving Lord. And that is our going. It's understanding that from the one comes the other. And as we allow God to flow through us, we are changed and our world is transformed. Because that transformative grace of Jesus Christ that each and every one of us needs to fulfill the Great Commission, but also to live the life worth living. We are going to find ourselves today in the book of Mark. We're going to be in the book of Mark. We're going to be in chapter 9. I'm preaching today on a very, very real subject to myself and to many of you. And the sermon is titled today, Help My Unbelief. How many of you out there have some doubt, have some unbelief? Yeah, every human being does. We are all confused. Amen? And there's a reason we're confused. I want you to think about how you've grown up in this world. You know, I have to point at my mom. It's Mother's Day, okay? So I have to point at my mom. Please understand, I love that woman with all my heart, okay? I can't wait to see my mom again someday. But she was one of the most messed up ladies you'd ever want to meet. I can remember being a young boy, and my mother would tell me something, and I would look at her and say, but Mom, you don't do that. She'd look at me and say, I'm your mother, do as I say, not as I do. And it's like, what? But how much of our lives are like that? We see people doing things, and we know that's wrong. Oh, but we're supposed to do something else, but everybody else is doing it. How many of you see your government doing that? How many of you see your bosses doing that? How many of you see, you know, just look at life? And it's so amazing because we're taught to doubt. We're taught to come against. And that goes all the way back to where? The Garden of Eden, where Satan stepped in and says, did God really say? And the reality is, yes, he did. Yes, he did. And we all have to remember that from that day to this, we've been fighting a nature that is in us that does not believe. But we in Christ Jesus have come to understand that as we believe, we are transformed and our faith grows and we're more available to the things of the Lord. Can I get an amen? How many of you have changed since you came to the Lord and you're finding life just a little bit better? Well, how about let's make it a whole lot better? Because we can do that as we believe. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Mark because we're all in this together and Jesus is going to talk to us here from the book of Mark, chapter 9, beginning in the 14th verse. Now, this is right after the transfiguration. The three of them were up on the mountain with Jesus and they saw him transformed and they saw Elijah and they saw Moses and they were coming down. And it says, and they had forgotten, oops, I am in chapter 8, I need chapter 9. Chapter 9, looky there. And they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, being Jesus, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, What are you discussing with them? And one of the crowd answered him, Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it. Now, as I look at these words, and I understand you and I need to remember we're in this same boat. When we think about what can we do, how much is possible to us outside of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? There's not a whole lot of possibility spiritually. I love that, Brother Bob, big old goose egg. There's not a whole lot that we can do spiritually because we are broken. We are sinners by nature, okay? And in that, we can't even enter into a spiritual conversation. There are things that we can't even begin to think about because we are part of the curse. But when we come to Christ, something changes. And that's what I want us to deal with today. Because when we begin to understand that we can't do anything, but through believing in our Savior Jesus the Christ, something changes. What is that something that changes? Well, let's read just a few more verses, up to verse 23. And he said, and he answered them and said, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. They brought the boy to him. When he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And verse 23. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. That is not a out there somewhere statement. Verse 23. That is Jesus Christ telling us something very real about who we are and who he is. When we understand that it is by faith, when we believe that all things are possible, how much is all, church? You can't use the same word to define a word. Everything. Everything. There is nothing lacking. Okay? When God says all, it is everything. How many of you believe that? How many of you received that? I should see a whole bunch of hands going down. Because many of us don't receive it. Because we doubt. We doubt. Look at the Father here. Look at the Father here. If you can do anything, did he believe Jesus could? Yeah, like Wendell's, He was hoping, wasn't he? He was hoping. How many of us go at Jesus Christ in that manner? How many of us go at our faith in that manner? Well, I hope. No. No. I'm going to tell you right now, when I was in the hospital and they told me that they were going to cut this leg off, I said, no, Lord, that can't happen. I can't preach. I can't be a minister. And he said, don't worry, you're walking out of here. Man, when I heard those words, I didn't doubt another second. I had 10 doctors come in the very next morning. They told me, get your affairs in order because you may not survive this. I didn't get my affairs in order. I called my wife. I told her what they said. Of course, you know, that's not a conversation you want to have over the phone. But I told her, I said, it's okay. I said, the Lord told me I'm walking out of here and I'm going to have both legs when I do so. 10 doctors came in. They had all these students with them. I was up here at Penn State, okay? I was up here at Hershey. And I'm sitting in there and my leg is like this big around. That's not a joke. It was as big as my waist. red, on fire, and they were telling me what all they needed to do to amputate this leg. I said, oh, no, we're not amputating. And so I'm walking out of here. And that doctor, he was German. I cannot interpret German, but I'm telling you right now, he was cussing at me. I mean, he was off. Veins on his neck were sticking out. And I'm like, whoa. I said, it's okay. I said, God's got me covered. And he said a whole bunch more stuff. And he turned around and stormed out of the room. And one of the other doctors looked at me, and he puts his arm on my shoulder, and he says, are you sure? I said, by faith, all things are possible. That is my words. By faith, all things are possible. I said, and God told me I'm walking out of here, and I believe it. Amen. When we live by faith, nothing is impossible for Jesus Christ. And that's one of the things that you and I have to remember. It's not about you and me. It's about, do we receive it? Do we believe it? And are we going to walk in it? Now, I'm not talking about a name it and claim it religion either. Because there's a lot of people that walk around and say, well, all I got to do is pray and God will give this to me. No, if it's not God's will, it is not going to happen. His will, his way, my faith. Can I get an amen? And when you and I begin to understand that we need to put things together, because that's why Jesus said, if you pray anything in my name, what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Oh, we all put that tag on the end, don't we? Yeah, we learned social media long before it became popular. We put that air tag on there, in Jesus' name. And I'm going to guarantee you right now, there's a lot of those prayers that hit the floor. Because all they are is our own greed. Can I get an amen out of the church? And I'm not ashamed to say that out there on internet land, because that is what we do. We are sinners by nature, but we've got to get over that, and we've got to begin to believe by faith that God says that anything, all things are possible to those who what? Believe. And that is not believing for your own purposes, but believing for the future of Christ and what God has instilled for his church, for his people, and for eternity. I'm going to tell you right now, I have met so many people since that day when that happened. That's just one of the things. Since that day, I have literally introduced many people to the Jesus that I know, and eternity has grown. It isn't about me. It's not about my leg. It's about my Savior who needed that testimony to talk to somebody else, and that somebody else believed because there was something going on in their life, and they needed to see that God is real. And how many of us here can say God is real? Because we have experienced him in our lives. We know what he does. And that's where we need to walk and have our being. We need to understand Jesus here is telling you and I'm telling you right now, you know, Mitch is still going through these cancer treatments. David, we just learned, is completely and totally cancer free. Can I get an hallelujah out of the church? We got Miss Susan up here that's going to have her stent removed, and I'm proclaiming it now. She is not going to need any more. Can I get an amen out of the house? She has been suffering long enough, and we got this young lady over here that's looking mighty fine, and she's been going well, and she is not going to stop. Miss Marion's cancer is out of here, and there is no more to talk about. Can I get an amen out of the church? Because we believe by faith that these people are the leaders of this church, and there is much more eternity that God has for them to deal with. And it's not about us. It's about this community. It's about the hearts and lives of people that are going to be changed, because that's what Jesus Christ wants to do. Change lives, change hearts, change position from death to life. Can I get an amen? That's the miracle that's above all miracles. That is the all. Because once dead, you ain't coming back. But in Christ Jesus, what was dead is now alive. and in him we have our being. And may we continue to grow in the fullness of his glory and his grace, understanding that when we put that little claimer on the end, in Jesus' name, we are literally submitting ourselves to him and his will. It is not my will. It's not the lottery I want to win. It is life that I want to gain, and not for myself, but for the rest of eternity, for all who would believe. Can I get an amen? We need to understand, God does not want sick people in this world. Sickness came because of sin. Jesus came to drive it out. He says, by his stripes we are what?
Healed.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
Then why don't we receive it? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, lest he blows that trumpet, we're all going to die. Can I get an amen? I'm waiting for the trumpet. But if I got to go out the old way, so be it. Because I know I'm going to enter into glory. Pastor, what are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. We all die. We get old, we age out, and it's time for the new generations to come. And it's in that aging out that I want us to understand it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. But there's a whole lot of people that are going into death twice. And those are the ones we need to touch. Those are the ones we need to meet. Those are the ones that we need to bring this testimony to, that Jesus is here and all things are possible to those who believe. And that's the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that I want us to hold to as a church, because I'm going to tell you right now, it's the only hope that'll get you through. Because when that trumpet blows and we're all out of here, how much hope do you think there's going to be left on this planet? Not a whole lot. People are going to get in. We all know it. We've all read the book, right? They're going to get in, but it's going to cost them their lives. They will be beheaded. And it's going to be horrible for Israel, because Israel's going to survive the tribulation. I want you all to understand that. Israel will survive the tribulation. Over 2/3 of the population of this world will die during the tribulation. And Israel is going to be that portion that is left, and they're going to be a part of it. And then God's going to come, and he's going to wipe out everybody else that's evil. And all that's going to be left is, and if I'm not mistaken, it's like 1/16th or 1/32nd of the entire world population, which is Israel. And then they're going to repopulate for 1,000 years. To fulfill all the Abrahamic promises, because all things are possible for those who believe. And in that tribulation, what's going to happen to Israel? They're going to begin to believe. They're actually going to receive their Messiah. But it's going to be after hell broke loose on earth. This is our time to see to it that not many people have to go through that. Now, we know there's going to be a bunch of them, but how many of you want to see to it that your friends and your loved ones come along? That's why we're here. That's why we believe. That is praying in Jesus' name. That is the reality. How important is prayer? This is the most amazing thing. Let's read on. We really don't understand how important prayer is. Immediately, the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. That's my premise statement. I do believe. Help my unbelief. How many of us are there? Every hand ought to be in the air. Because I do believe. Help my unbelief. Because we all walk in doubt. I need Jesus in my life. I need that daily relationship. That's what that is talking about. I can't do it on my own. I can't see it happening. But Lord, if you're here by my side, I can believe it to be. And that's what you and I need to hold to. Help my unbelief. Walk with me, O Lord. Be in me, O Lord. Guide me into thy precepts and thy principles, that I may be the man of God, the woman of God that you've called me to be. Because I can't do it alone. But in you all things are possible. And that's where I must stand. Help my unbelief. Walk with me. Be with me. In fact, take me out and may I become you. Because that's what we need to do. And he goes on. And I love this. I do love this. This is our Lord Jesus, okay? When Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again." Jesus didn't want to make a spectacle. What did he want to do? He wanted to bring a healing. We need to understand something. Jesus is teaching us something there. If you're going to do the things that you think you're going to do for Jesus, and you're going to do it for fame and glory and to get a name and everything else that people are looking at you, it ain't going to happen. But if you do it in the wayside and the byside where nobody else knows, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing, right? That's where you're going to see the healing. That's where you're going to find it, in your prayer closet, when you're with that person one-on-one, and you're definitely as serious as you can be, knowing that the God who has saved you, the God who has changed you, is the God who will change them. And it's about him and them, and it's not about you. You're just a mediator. You're a conduit. That's all you are, and that's all you want to be, because that's exactly what Jesus was showing us right here. He didn't want to make it about himself at that point in time, because he knew it was about the Holy Spirit and the Father. Can I get an amen? And in that, we must have our being and understand the principles that he's trying to teach us. We don't do it out of arrogance. We don't do it for glory. We do it because God has called us to be men and women of faith, and that we project our faith into other people's lives. Because if their faith is weak, he says in his word, to call upon faithful men, because the prayer of a righteous man, what? Availeth much. Because your faith may be weak, let's couple it with mine, and we're going to meet the faithfulness of God, because he's the one that's going to do it. And I will carry you to that cross, and I will lay you down, and Jesus Christ will pick you up. Can I get an amen out of the house? Are we fired up today or what? I'm telling you, God is good, and all the time. And I'm telling you folks out there on internet land right now, many of you are looking and longing. That's why you're out there. A bunch of you may be far away and you can't come to Lebanon, but there's a church in your area that believes the word of Jesus Christ. Seek them out. Become part of that body and get involved in the church, that your faith may grow, that you may see and be the Christ light in this world that we are all ought to be. That's where we need to go. That's where we need to be. We love to have you here. And that is not a joke. We really do. But the reality also is you need to be part of a local congregation where you can be fed on a daily basis, not just by hearing the word, but by being around and rubbing shoulders with brothers and sisters, for iron sharpens iron. Can I get an amen out of the house? And as we walk and we believe the truth of God, we will find that there are other brothers and sisters that are just as broken as us. So when they mess up, don't be out there screaming and crying. Remember, they're as messed up as you are. And how many of us are perfect? Not a hand in the air. Thank you, Jesus. Because I'll guarantee you, I have said this, and I will say it again, and I will say it again, and I will say it again. I will disappoint you. I'm a man. Yeah, but you're the pastor. So what? Ask my wife. She knows all too well that I'm messed up. And so do I. Yes, my calling raises me up a little bit. I know this. I know him. And I can't thank him enough for what he's given me. But that's why I give him out. Because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to keep that which I have entrusted unto him against that day. And I want you to know him. It's not just words on a page. He's my Savior. He is the love of my life. I have nothing more to give than Christ Jesus. And by grace I give him, because it's by grace I've received him. And that's the grace we have to walk in. So how do we get here? How can we do this? Look at what he says. After crying out and throwing him into a terrible convulsion, it came out. The evil spirit came out. And the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. And when he came into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately. Why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. You and I need to understand two things here that we need to see. This man was as good as dead. Do you see that? Everybody thought he was dead. What happened? Jesus reached down and picked him up. You and I are as good as dead. Jesus came. He reached into our stuff and picked us up, and he brought us life again. Can I get an amen? Because that's the truth of where we are, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to lead these people to Christ, that Christ may pick them up, not us. Not praying it in Jesus' name and looking for the glory, but leaving the glory, casting your crown at his feet. Do you understand where that scripture comes from now? Because everything that we have done, we will take that. He's going to give us a crown and say, oh, looky what you did. And we're going to say, no, look what you did. Look what you did. I don't deserve any of this. I deserve death. I deserve separation. But by the grace of God, I'm here because you died for me. You gave me this hope. So how do we bring this hope to others? Man, what does it say right there in verse 29? This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. Jesus tells us the greatest weapon we have against evil is prayer. You and I need to pray. David wasn't healed because David's a good man. David was healed because the church prayed and believed. Can I get an amen? Marion was healed, not because she's an awesome lady, and she is, but because she believed and she called us to prayer. Remember? Mitch called us to prayer. Remember? Susan has called us to prayer. Let us remember and keep the prayers going. Because this kind only comes out by prayer. It is our call to pray, to be the church of Jesus Christ and move people to that place. Folks have told me for years, you know, well, this is a New Testament thing, and this isn't the way things used to be. It wasn't. Let's turn to the book of Romans real quick. Now, you know, Pastor, once I get there, it ain't gonna be quick. From the book of Romans. We're going to be in chapter 4. We're going to be in verse 18. 4 and 18. And we're going to read through 5:5. It says, in hope against hope, from the verse 18 in chapter 4 of Romans. In hope against hope, he believed. Who? He. Abraham. So that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully assured that what God has promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because of the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Can I hear an amen out of the house? You and I are looking at this. Abraham believed by faith that he was going to receive the promise at 100 years old. How many of you out there think you could father a child at 100? How many of you women out there want to have a baby at 100? They received it because the promise was theirs to receive. And they received it. I have to chuckle because I'd spoken this just a couple of days ago. You know, when Sarah was told she was going to have a baby in her old age, what did she do? She laughed. How many of us laugh at God? How many of us laugh at God? Is he really going to do that for me? Yes, if you believe by faith, if you hold to the promise of God, if you understand that he is the one who's faithful, not us, the laugh that Sarah gave showed her lack of faith. Can I get an amen? So if we are doubting Thomas's, how much more so was Abraham and Sarah? And they received. Why? Because they continued to walk and continued to believe. Their faith had to grow. They received the promise. Did the baby come that day? No, he didn't come for years yet. In fact, it was so long, Sarah said, well, you know, we got to make this happen another way. So she gave her maidservant to her husband and said, have a kid through, you know, because ain't no way I'm doing it. No, that's not what God intended. How many of us get in God's way? I do it all the time. I do it all the time. But we need to remember what he says in chapter 5 here. Because all these things that we're going to go through are meant to build something. And what does it do? And I love it because it says that we know, we exalt in our tribulations because tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, folks, it's not about us. It's all about him. It's all about him and who he has said he is. Do you believe he is God? Then let's begin walking that way. How much is available to us? You know, and I think about my life. I have a blessed life. How many of you can say you have a blessed life? Man, I would pray every hand would be in the air because it may not be everything you want it to be right now, but it could be a whole lot worse, couldn't it? Yeah, we all know it. I remember what I used to be. I don't want to go back to that guy. You don't want to know him. You wouldn't like him. But I want to be becoming that man that God wants me to be. Walking through this life, the tribulations are going to come. But those tribulations are not here to defeat me, but to lead me into Christ where I may persevere. And as I go through this thing and I believe and hold fast to the promises of God, that he says I'm going to be healed, I'm going to be healed. He says I'm going to be whole, I'm going to be whole. He says that I'm going to be of a right mind, and that's a big work. I'm going to be of a right mind. Because that perseverance is going to bring about the character that only God can bring, a proven character, a steadfastness. Do you understand? That's what that means, to have a proven character. That is a steadfastness. How many of you out there know without any doubt that there are things in your life, okay? For me, you know, there are things that I can do and I don't doubt them. I can do this day after day after day after day because I've proven it in my character. I know I can do this. But how many of us out there walk around because we've never done this thing before? You know, we've never walked into this. Well, I can't do that. Excuse me? Don't we know one who can? All things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. That means we've got to go to school. How many of you like going to school? That's what this is all about. It's called discipleship, where we learn about our Lord and we grow in him. Folks out there on the internet, that's why getting into a local congregation is so important, because then you can mix with these folks, learn in the discipleship, learn the word of God together, wrestle it out. Because if we study it ourselves, and I've seen this time and time again, where people will come to me. I mean, I had a gentleman one time, he brought up this whole little pamphlet about baptism, and he said, oh, I'd love to teach baptism in your church. I said, well, what are you going to teach? So I got the pamphlet that he had. It was 14 pages, and I started reading it, and it was so full of heresy that I couldn't believe it. I said, where did you learn this? Oh, I was self-taught. I said, it shows. And what do you mean? The word says this. I said, you've taken almost everything that you wrote down out of context. If God's talking about food, he's not talking about baptism. If God is talking about healing, he's not talking about baptism. If God is talking about controversy between two people, he's not talking about baptism. But I can take every piece of scripture and make it be what I want it to be, can't I? And God said it is good, so anything in life is good. I can do it all. No. We all know that. And that's why we go through the perseverance to build the proven character one with another, and that proven character then leads to what? Hope. Because we have seen God move. And as God moves, he gets us set in the right place. We've got to be retrained. And today, that's what I'm asking you to do. Allow the Lord to retrain your thinking. Help my unbelief, O Lord. By walking in his word, holding to his word, understanding his love, and knowing the grace he has for each and every one of us. God wants us all to be whole and holy. How many of you are there yet? How many of you are on your way? Amen. Amen. And that's the whole point. That's the progressive sanctification where all of us walk. Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, they see us at the end, complete and totally whole and wholly his. We got to get there. Are you going to believe Jesus can get you there? All things are possible to him who believes. Pray with me this day. Father God, it is by faith that we live and have our being. And Lord, I pray that I have challenged some today to change their thinking, to stop looking at the doubt, to stop looking at the things around and saying, well, I don't know. If they know you, they know. I tell you these things that you may know. And that is talking about our salvation and everything that this salvific word holds for us. Lord, we still have a lot to learn and a long way to go. But Father, may our hearts be open to receive from you by faith, that we may see that day and know the wonder of your healing, of your hope, and of your promise. For these things we lift before you in the name who is our Savior, Jesus the Christ, that we may be transformed both now and forevermore. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.